What's going on? The banjos are back. That means it's Monday Night Football. It's the showdown hoedown. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I'm a high-limit DFS player who focuses on golf and football. If you can't tell, we're only doing football right now. But that doesn't mean I can't help you, because if you don't know, DFS be hard as shit, and I'm here to help you be a little bit better at it. If you're new to the channel and you like the cut of my jib, come check out the schedule. Stays busy, and just so you know, the schedule's about to get way more as the new year rolls upon us. All right, here we go. Let's get to it. We're going to start. We always start, because if you don't know, this is the first place you're dicking away your money is contest selection. I got to tell a quick story. As yesterday, there was the big $25 millionaire maker for the three-game Sunday slate, and somebody sent me a DM over on Twitter and said, boom, I won $100, 4X my money, right? To which I did point out that they actually did two lineups and the other one didn't cash, so they really only got 2X their money, right? And what I did is I said, hey, let me show you what that lineup would have finished in the $50 single entry that I played in, which was the same amount of money that he played, right? And instead of 4X's money, which we already said was 2X, he actually would have won 12X's money. And this is the point I'm trying to make, is when you hit really good lineups, you are so much better being a good single entry, good three max tournaments that have better payout structures, right? If you were playing in these big lotteries, the ones with over 100,000 people in them, where over a third or more of the money goes to first, just know, in the long run, 99% of players, that is a negative EV play. And I hate to tell you, you're not fucking special. So you are probably in the 99% of people that are losing in the long term. Basically, you have to get a top three at this every few years to make this sustainable to play in. And you're just not going to do that. So I'm telling you, if you're one of those people that bitches about always having to reload, stop playing in this tournament. Go play in some single entries, man. Just do it and quit thinking that, oh, I'm min cashed in the Millionaire Maker. Who gives a shit? If you're playing the Millionaire Maker, you should be playing for first or last and nowhere in between. Okay? So if you don't understand that, you probably don't understand how dumb it is to play in this. So that's it. That is a great little lesson. And that, of course, that my great response to that guy right over his fucking head. He'll be right back in this one tonight. Whereas if he could just go play in the $50 single entry, he could win some real money tonight. But you know, you can't talk common sense with morons. All right. So that's contest selection. As always, let the number of lineups that you want to play dictate how many you play. Pick your game scripts that you like. Preferably, if you're going to play a game script, make sure that you are entering at least 5 lineups that kind of mix and match that script. I think up to 10 or 20 lineups for one script is fine. But if you're going to be playing like 3 different game scripts and you're doing 3 lineups, I think that's really stupid. Pick your one game script, find a pool of guys that fit into that, and mix and match those guys, right? Or do what I talk about with single entry. Go make your favorite lineup and then just go take one piece out and go insert another piece, right? Go take Paris Campbell out and put in Alex Pierce. Just that one-off piece could be the difference and you winning or not winning tonight, right? And you just have 3 versions of that one lineup where you're just taking a one-off piece. Same stuff I'm always preaching. I'll never stop, because I'm here to help you quit bleeding away money. You want to know the best contest to play in? It's mine right here. It's for week-long. Go hop in it completely free. First place gets a Millionaire Maker ticket with me that we will split. Second place gets a free month on my Discord. So people like that one. As you can see, our winner last week, Jeff, my man Jeff, flying my flag, by the way. Andy won, a double champion. 100 people in there. Pretty good. Pretty good, Jeff. Hey, while I got you here, make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on those notifications, because you know YouTube is not going to spread me around. So maybe tell a friend. I appreciate you. Can't help but notice the big guy's almost up 2,200, and there's no ads on here now that I'm not playing Christmas music and people aren't copyright claiming me. All right, let's get to the slate. We got a 45.5 point total, which based on most NFL primetime games is a monster total. It seems like Shootout City with a 45-point total. I will say this. The Chargers do have one of the more functional offenses in the NFL. They are relatively healthy, so that's pretty exciting, right? And then the Colts, okay, well, maybe not the Colts, right? We've got Matt Ryan out. We've got Ellinger out, so Big Dick Nick's going to be starting at quarterback. Jonathan Taylor is not playing. Matter of fact, let's just go through and look at some injuries real quick, some people that are going to be out. As you can see, the Chargers are looking pretty healthy. It looks like the only person of any consequence that's going to be out is, well, no one. They look like they got basically everybody. For the Colts, it's a different story. Matt Ryan is out. Jonathan Taylor is out. Kylan Granson's out. So there are some pieces missing there. And why that matters is because when those guys are out, it opens up usage for other people. And so we want to take advantage of that usage. The other thing I would tell you is most people tonight will be playing 4-2 Chargers builds, 5-1 Chargers builds, or 3-3 Chargers build with a Charger at captain. So the first place you can get different without having to sacrifice any good plays is just simply go play 4-2 Colts builds, 5-1 Colts builds, or 3-3 Colts builds with a Colt at the captain. Because I'm telling you, with these injuries, the Chargers being healthy, the Chargers being favored, that most people are going to ride the Chargers train tonight. So that's a great way to get different, is by simply playing more Colts than you do Chargers. That doesn't mean you don't play any Chargers. That just means that you play more Colts than you do Chargers, right? Just be cognizant of that. All right, let's run the sims and see how it looks. As you can see, the most optimal play tonight, no effing surprise, Justin Herbert only at 10,400. Not sure what the hell we're doing here, DraftKings. Justin Herbert should be every bit of 11,000, but whatever. As you can see, his projected ownership, 89% tonight, and as you can see, he's showing up in the optimal ridiculous 80% of the time, which, because his ownership is so high, actually makes him a negatively leveraged play, but not by very much, right? So you have to ask yourself, why is Justin Herbert so automatic to get there? Well, first of all, he offers a pretty decent floor just with a little bit of rushing that he gets. He also is going to be leading an offense that is projected for about 25 points, so that's really good. He gets it done almost every week with 2 touchdowns. The guy's just an auto lock tonight. However, is there scripts that he doesn't get there? Absolutely. If you want to go play a sloggy script, maybe you think this game's 16-13. Well, if that's the case, there is a decent chance Justin Herbert doesn't get there. He'll likely get outpaced by Eckler. He'll probably get outpaced by some wide receiver options like Pittman, Keenan Allen, people like that, in a full-point PPR. So there are scripts to where he doesn't get there. But you have to ask yourself, what script are you playing? If you're playing the Chargers are going to beat the brakes off of the Colts, there's no way Justin Herbert doesn't get there. If you're playing a shootout script tonight, there's no way Justin Herbert doesn't get there, right? Matter of fact, I would say if you're playing those scripts, you probably really want to consider even playing him at captain. Maybe that's the way that you could play Justin Herbert and be a little bit different. But let your script dictate what you're going to do. Even if you're playing a Colts blowout, I almost think that Justin Herbert still probably gets there just backdooring garbage points in the fourth quarter. Right? So these are some things to consider when it comes to Justin Herbert. Because tonight, anytime a guy's at 80%, to me, a lot of time it comes down to not are we going to play this guy or not going to play him, but how do we play him different than everybody else? And the only way that I'm truly fading Herbert is if I have a hot take. My script tonight is, you know, that it's going to be a slog, right? And in the dome with Indianapolis being Indianapolis, I don't know if I love the slog narrative, but you know what? It's your lineup, so you make it however the hell you want, big guy. I'm just asking you to follow a script. From there, we've got Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler has, there for a while, it seemed like he was on the field about 90% of the time. That seems to have dropped back down to about 75%. He's still an amazing play. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He always finds the end zone. He gets plenty of goal line carries. So he is very attractive, right? Problem you're going to run into is you're going to want to start a lot of your lineups with Herbert and Eckler. And they do pair very nicely together, right? But at what point are you just like sacrificing too much money? This is what you got to ask yourself. And if you're going to stack Herbert and Eckler, I think you need to be very cognizant of like what the rest of your lineup's going to look like and what it does to it. Do you have some pump pieces that you're really comfortable doing? Because if you're just playing expensive guys to play expensive guys, and then it forces you to get on punts like Mo Alley Cox just to make the lineup work, well, do you really like Mo Alley Cox? Or are you simply just playing him so that you could go cram in a bunch of studs? This is what I'm always talking about, is that you do not want to simply play guys just to make other guys fit. Be aware of what they do to the entire your entire roster construction, right? If I don't want to play, like say the very bottom guy you're interested in tonight is Jelani Woods at 2,800, right? You need to be aware that like you're not wanting to drop anywhere below that, and so that limits the kind of guys that not only you can play at the top of your roster, but also who you can put in that captain spot. Because if you put Eckler in the captain spot, you're going to be hurting. You're going to be hurting financially. So don't just simply go put guys in there. Think of how they make the rest of your lineup work. That's what I want you to do. All right, rest of the Chargers, you got to love Keenan Allen in a PPR. The guy is clearly the number one receiver as far as targets go. He's very playable. Mike Williams is always, for me, Mike Williams is the easiest guy ever. I either play him at captain or I fully fade him. I do that every time, and I swear to God, in the long run, I'm very, very up on that. Josh Palmer has really cut out a role as the third receiver in this offense. You can see the optimizer really likes him. He's showing up 26% of the time, yet only projected at 18%, so he's actually one of the better leverage plays on the slate. And of course, the fourth wide receiver, DeAndre Carter, the optimizer does not love him. He seems to really be, now that the Chargers are healthy, they have their top three receivers, they're on the field most of the time. It's really starting to fade him out of the game. Plus, we know the Chargers love to use their tight ends. If you don't know, Gerald Everett at 4,800 is a tremendous price. He's very involved in the offense. He's on the field most of the time. The only thing I would say is they do play a lot of double tight end stacks, so there is a chance that even though he's out there running routes, it goes to one of the other slapdick tight ends. Who do we got? Smart, McKitty, and of course Parham. You always got to be aware of Parham. So those are that's the Charger side of the ball, right? They have the bigger total. They have the better offense. They're very, very safe. If you want to play a bunch of Chargers tonight, I really encourage you to try some 5-1 Chargers builds, because 4-2 Charger builds are going to probably be 30 to 35% of all lineups tonight. On the other side, it's the Colts. By the way, hang around till the end, because my spicy take has to do with the Colts, and I will share it with you at the very end. For the Colts, if you don't know, Jonathan Taylor's out, which just opens up a massive amount of value, right? They priced up Zach Moss to $7,000. As you can see, the optimizer loves Zach Moss because it is anticipating that he will be eating the majority of that usage with Jonathan Taylor being out. But I'm not so sure that Zach Moss is going to get all the love. I mean, I don't think this is a hot take, but I think it's going to be a more of a committee. And so trying to hit that committee right and guess the one player that's going to pop, I think, is the play, right? Deion Jackson at $7,600 is just disgustingly overpriced, and because of that, nobody's going to play him. But if you think that he's going to eat up that Jonathan Taylor usage, you should love that he's overpriced, because now you're going to get him at a discounted ownership. From there, if you want, and I think even Jordan Wilkins probably gets a little bit of play in the Colts offense. So that's the three-headed monster. I would not double stack those guys, especially at the price tag that they have Moss. The other guy I was just talking about, who I'm now blanking on. Deion Jackson, I would not stack them together at those price tags, right? I would pick one, hope that you hit the running back committee right, and play it. At quarterback, they got Big Dick Nick Foles at $9,000. Anytime you can get a starting quarterback at $9,000, you want to take it. Is Nick Foles dust? Probably. Is Nick Foles ever been a great fantasy quarterback? No. But in a single game, can he get it done? Probably. Is he going to likely be in a script where he'll be in, either behind or playing in a competitive environment? Almost certainly. So those are positives to actually like Nick Foles tonight. Wide receiver is pretty simple. To me, I think Michael Pittman Jr., as weird as it seems, actually seems to be the guy that will benefit the most from Jonathan Taylor being out. I think that they realize he's definitely their best player on offense, and they're going to get him the ball. And at $8,200, a ridiculous price tag for a team that's going to be playing from behind, Michael Pittman Jr. seems like a nuts play tonight if you think that the Colts can be competitive. Okay, if you think the Colts are going to get blown out, well, then maybe you don't play him. I think you also always got to pay attention to Alex Pierce at $2,800. The dude is a home run machine. They just love to chunk the ball deep to this motherfather. He catches one of them and takes it to the house, or just catches two bombs. He will not only pay off that $2,800, I think he's also a viable captain play. I don't know that you need to play a super cheap captain tonight because there's not tons of great pay-up options, but if you want to get that Herbert Eckler stack, I think a Pierce at captain makes sense. One big bomb for a touchdown, or just two big catches, he'll probably be an optimal type captain play there, right? So Alex Pierce, not the worst. Paris Campbell is on the field more than Alex Pierce, but does not get the high average ADOT that we get from Alex Pierce, but I still think he's viable. And then I think the most interesting one is, what the hell do we do with the Colts tight end? They're great values. Mo Alie-Cox is $200. Jelani Woods is $2,800. If you don't know, Granson's out, who has been running the primary amount of plays for them. With him out, that's going to open up some usage. It's going to get Woods and Cox on the field more. And if you don't know rule number one, you can't fucking score DFS points if you're not on the field, Bob. So with these guys on the field more, I think you have to be very warm to these tight ends. Do I know which one it's going to be? No, I don't. But I will tell you this, they are definitely on my radar to consider. Lastly, kickers and defense. Kickers and defense is how I always feel. I'm open to them. I usually never play more than one of them in a lineup unless I'm playing a really, really sloggy narrative for the day. I also like to be very aware of pairing my defense. I love, if you're going to run an Eckler, as your captain, I think the Chargers defense makes a lot of sense, right? Because that probably means the Chargers are controlling the game. The Colts are playing from behind, passing equals more sacks, more interceptions, more pick sixes. And these are the things we want to attack. So that's how I like to use my defense, is using it to complement the rest of my lineup. If you with the game being in the dome tonight, it's going to be a safe environment for kickers. So if you think these offenses are going to be stalling a lot in the red zone, well, then kickers start to get some value, don't they? I would say probably the Colts kicker is probably a better play than the Chargers kicker, as we know that the Chargers are just a better offense down in the red zone. And those are the things you need to consider, because your kicker can't score points if he's not getting opportunities to kick field goals, right? So there you go. Last thing we'll hit on is captain's plays. For my captain, I either want usage monsters, people that I think are going to eat up all the usage, a Herbert, a Pittman, a Keenan Allen, or I want a home run guy like Alex Pierce. Okay, those are the kind of guys I'm targeting for captain. guys that I'm, you know, just completely fading tonight, I don't really know. I think I would let the scripts that I have, you know, like if I'm playing that it's going to be a sloggy script, well, I am definitely fading guys like Mike Williams and Justin Herbert, right? If I think it's going to be a shootout, well, then I'm going to start fading these overpriced Indianapolis running backs, and I'm going to play Nick Foles and his pass catchers. That's how I use to decide what I'm fading. I don't make hard, fast rules about who I'm fading and playing. I do it based on what script I'm going with. You ready for my final take? 1 second. If you don't know, go follow me on Twitter. Over 3,600. We're pushing to 4,000. Help me get there, you motherfather. I have a Discord, about to have a fucking website, and it's connected through my Patreon for now. So go sign up if you want. Grows every day. We got college football, NFL football, and soon to be golf. If you don't love golf, what the hell's wrong with you? My final take, this guy. That is Nick Foles. Just so you know, many people aren't going to play him tonight. People, for whatever reason, don't like backup quarterbacks. And a lot of times it makes sense. They're backup quarterbacks because the little secret rule that only I know called they fucking suck. But Nick Foles has had NFL success before. Nick Foles, I mean, he won a fucking Super Bowl. He can be a functional NFL quarterback. $9,000 quarterback starting in showdown is always appetizing. Furthermore, with Jonathan Taylor out, you have to assume their running game is not going to be as efficient as normal. And because of that, they're probably going to be passing the ball down the field and playing in a script that's either going to be competitive or they're going to be from behind. Either one of those scripts has Nick Foles throwing the ball all over the place. If he throws an interception or two, oh well, that just going to make him have to throw it that much more to get back in the game. So I think Nick Foles might be the best leverage play you can get tonight. Should you play him? Well, that's up to you, Bob. I'm just giving you some thoughts to consider. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope to see you again for Thursday Night Football. Good luck tonight. If you hit any big ones, send me a screenshot. But most importantly, guys, I hope you enjoy this outro.